every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life, and the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughn will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right, now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time for the third half hour, the final half hour of today's Drive Time Show. Of course, you're listening to Vaughn Radio, and my name is Kyle Miller. This is the Drive Time program. I hope you are driving safely, if you are driving. And in these times, I guess fewer people are driving, coming and going from work. So maybe you're listening from home or from wherever, but I hope you are enjoying the program and making the most of it. And let's begin this half hour with a section we call What's the Difference?
Like, ask, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? Okay, today we have a question. This one came in from Maria, and she says, I'm a 20-year-old listener from Vigo. I love learning English, and that's thanks to teachers like you. Wonderful. Thank you, Maria. I have a few questions. Here they are. She says, I think I might have heard I'm home instead of I'm at home. Is it correct? Maybe it is informal speech. Could you explain the difference? Okay, well, she's getting into a second question here. First of all, I'm home. I'm at home. Where are you? So someone calls you. Where are you? I'm at home. Now, if you say, I'm home, that's okay. I'm home, but I'm at home. You're more, if you say you're at home, I would say you are implying your physical location, whereas home means a place where you are comfortable. Say, oh, I'm home. When I, you know, when I'm with my family eating a big meal, I really feel like I'm home. Where are you now? Oh, I'm at home. Estoy en casa. I'm at home. I'm at my house. I'm at home. Now, we do have a difference between house and home. House is like the physical casa. And home tends to be more like hogar, el hogar. We say home is where the heart is. But to be at home means to be in this, in tu hogar, but in a comfortable place for you. I guess I should say at home would be more like you're physically at your home, whereas to simply say I'm home means you're in this comfortable place, okay? But we're kind of splitting hairs here. These are very, very similar. She also says, could you please explain the difference between by myself and on my own? Well, on your own, I say I'm on my own, it means that you're independent, responsible for yourself. I live on my own. I'll do it on my own. Now, by myself means that you are all alone at that moment. Okay? I'm by myself right now. But to do something on your own means independently. I drove there on my own. Now, you could imply, if you say, I drove there on my own, it could mean maybe there was someone in the car, but you did the driving. But by yourself means you were alone in the vehicle in this case, or you were all alone. There was no one with you. But again, these are very similar. These are very similar, okay? Yeah, I mean, usually if you say you did something on your own, usually it would also be you would be alone, but it's more related to emphasizing that you did the thing. Whereas by yourself, I would say, is more meaning that you are alone at that moment. Okay, let's have a look at today's drive time phrasal verb. We're going to get into this. And we can do actually a couple of them through translation. So I'm going to give you a couple of phrasal verbs. Now, we did a lot at the start of the show. In fact, why don't we go back and review? Podemos repasar. Okay, let's go back and review a few phrasal verbs that we saw, because we had to blow out, apagar la vela, to blow out a candle, soplando, right? Blow out. Now we had a blowout, which was not a phrasal verb at all, but a blowout as one word would be reventón. Tuve un reventón camino de la oficina. I had a blowout on the way to work, on the way to the office. So to put out or to turn off, apaga la luz, turn off the lights. Turn off the light. Turn off the stereo, turn off the music. Blow out the candle. Un reventón, a blowout, one word. Now to blow up, volar un puente. They tried to blow up the bridge. Inflar un globo, to blow up a balloon. To blow up a balloon. To make a bridge explode, to blow up a bridge. Blow up a balloon, to inflate. Blow down. El viento derribó el muro. The wind blew down the wall. El viento lo derribó. The wind blew it down. Okay? The wind blew it down. The wind blew down the wall. The wind blew it down. Apaga la vela, like I said, was blow out the candle. Pero apaga el incendio, put out the fire. Apaga la luz, turn off the light. Apaga el incendio, put out the fire. Yeah, we don't say turn off the fire. Put out the fire. Apaga la vela, blow out the candle. So notice out, implying extinguishing something. Okay? Okay, yeah, all right. Okay, hopefully this all makes sense. Hopefully this all makes sense. We have a bunch of phrasal verbs using to blow here. Blow out, put out. Turn off, apaga, turn off. Turn off the light, blow out the candle. Okay? So these can be a bit challenging, these phrasal verbs, I realize it. But like I say, little by little, if you practice, you can improve. All right, we have some interesting technology. I'm going to call it technology. Really, it's more of a... Yeah, we don't need to call this our technology section. I'm just going to talk about this as we have some interesting research that has been done about boosting memory. Now, this came from the BBC, but I'm going to go through what I read today, what I learned about this, because I think it's very useful. It seems there's a surprising technique that can boost your short and long-term memory, and it appears to help everyone. Whether you're a student, young or old, or maybe you have Alzheimer's. So they say when trying to memorize new material, it's easy to assume that the more work you put into it, the better you will perform. But taking downtime, taking a break from it, to do nothing, might be the best thing you need. They say enjoy 10 or 15 minutes of quiet contemplation. And if you do this, you'll find that your memory, or your memory of facts that you have just learned, is much better than if you had attempted to use that moment more productively. This is interesting. So it's already well known that we should pace our studies, right? You have to go at a ritmo, pues, no demasiado rápido, right? Go at a slower pace. Now, new research suggests that we should aim for minimal interference during these breaks. So avoid any activity that could interfere with the task of memory formation. So don't go around going to the supermarket, checking your emails, surfing the web, anything like that. You need to give your brain the chance for a complete recharge with no distractions. Okay, this is the idea. Try to learn something, try to study something, and then sit for 10 or 15 minutes idle. No distractions, and it will actually absorb into your brain better. This is what they're saying. Now, I guess an excuse to do nothing seems like a perfect technique for a lazy student, but this discovery may also offer some relief for people with amnesia and some forms of dementia, suggesting new ways to release a latent, previously unrecognized capacity to learn and remember. This is very interesting. So the remarkable memory-boosting benefits of undisturbed rest were first documented back in 1900 by a German psychologist named George Elias Müller and a student of his. And they did a lot of experiments on memory consolidation. And they first asked their participants to learn a list of meaningless syllables. Following a short study period, half of the group were immediately given a second list to learn, while the rest were given a 6-minute break before continuing. Now, when they were tested 1.5 hours later, the two groups showed very different patterns of recollection. Very different memory. The participants that were given a break remembered about 50% of their lists, whereas the group who had given no time to recharge their mental batteries only recalled 28%. So the finding here suggests that our memory for new information is especially fragile just after it had first been encoded, just after it had first been taken into the brain, making it more susceptible to interference from new information. Now, a handful of other psychologists, some other psychologists occasionally returned to these findings, and it was only in the early 2000s that more implications of this started to be known. And there was a study at the University of Edinburgh that looked at this, a team that was also interested in discovering whether reduced interference might improve the memories of people who had suffered a neurological injury, like a stroke. So they went back to Dr. Mueller's and the students' study, and they presented their participants with 15 words and tested them 10 minutes later. In some trials, they stayed busy with some cognitive tests. In others, they were asked to lie in a dark room and avoid falling asleep. Now, the interesting thing about this is fascinating. I mean, a great way to improve your memory. It seems that the benefits of this appear to occur for both young and old people. Now, in another test they did, participants were asked to listen to stories and answer questions about an hour later. With the chance to rest, they could recall, without the chance to rest, they could recall 7% of the facts And when they were able to rest, they recalled 79%. So facts from a story. Now, the research also found a similar but less pronounced benefit for healthy participants in each case, boosting recall between 10 and 30%. So a lot of tests have been done on this, and the results seem to be that resting after you learn something, after you study, resting simply not looking at a screen, not checking your phone, not just physically resting your body, but resting your brain, promotes much better recall. Now, they say this advantage also lingers. It stays there for a week or so after the original learning task. And it seems to benefit young and old people alike. Stroke survivors, all sorts of different people that have been tested. Now, the exact mechanism for this, the reason for this, is still unknown. But some clues come from a growing understanding of memory formation. It's now well accepted that once memories are initially encoded in the brain, they pass through a period of consolidation that cements them in long-term storage. This was once thought to happen primarily during sleep. When you sleep, they get cemented into your brain. The heightened communication between the hippocampus, where memories are first formed, and the cortex, a process that may build and strengthen the new neural connections that are necessary for later recall. But now it seems that simply it wasn't only sleep. No, even being awake, but just resting your brain, relaxing, and letting your mind wander for a short period can help. And they also found that increased communication between the hippocampus and areas of the visual cortex during rest, that increased communication, I should say, in this area of the brain. So there's a lot going on, and you have to rest. So the idea here, in case you're just tuning in, is that they're finding if you are studying something, it's good to sit down, rest, relax, or lay down. Don't fall asleep, but simply let your mind go as blank as possible for 10 or 15 minutes, and you can actually increase your retention of information. They say a lot of students are recording a 10 to 30% improvement in recalling things that they've studied, and that could mark the difference between a grade or two in school. So instead of cramming, maybe the answer, now I'm not an expert here, but it seems instead of cramming, as you say, you know, studying as much as possible nonstop until the last minute, maybe it's best to study, but then rest, sit down, try to lay idle, and let the information sink in, as we say, as a non-scientific term. Let it sink in. Let your brain sort of digest and process the information and record it into your memory. Interesting. So an interesting study. I love that sort of stuff. That science, to me, is fascinating. Anyway, we're going to move on, everybody, because we have to do it. Hay que seguir con otras cosas. We have a couple questions from listeners. Let's take a look at today's By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
By request, yes. We have a question here. I lost the name. I apologize. I missed the name here, but the listener says, I'm a listener for your show. I'm writing to let you know of a question that you might use on your program if you want to teach conditionals. What would you do if you won the lottery? Okay, great. Yeah, sure. Very typical question for practicing conditionals. I agree. What would you do if you won the lottery? And yes, this is in the second conditional, and he says, I hope you send me that interesting activity about the present perfect and present simple that you talked about on the, yeah, I put that in the Facebook group. So guys, if you're in the Facebook group, you can get resources pongo ahí PDF, documentos en PDF, por ejemplo, in PDF form. You can find them in the Facebook group, English with Kyle. So make sure you're in the group. It's free to join, and I post some resources there and do some extra classes and the post the podcast and lots of extra content in the English with Kyle Facebook group. But yes, this question is a good, well, it's not a question. He's giving us an example. Una pista. Una idea. He's saying you could practice the second conditional by asking this question. What would you do if you won the lottery? Okay. I would invest a lot of money if I won the lottery. I would. Te ayudaría si tuviera suficiente dinero. I would help you if I had enough money. ¿Qué harías si eso pasara? What would you do if that happened? What would you do if that happened? Yo que tú no lo haría. If I were you, I wouldn't do it. If I were you, I wouldn't do it. Si fuera verdad, no sé lo que haría. If it were true, I don't know what I would do. If it were true, I don't know what I would do. Okay. Anyway, that's it for today. I did have a couple more questions, but I'm going to leave them until Monday because I want to move on. But remember, if you have questions, send them to me either on Instagram or on Twitter. The name is I'm Kyle Miller. Or you can also write them, of course, in my free Facebook group, which is for you, English with Kyle, the free Facebook group. Okay, let's jump forward to a little challenge here, as we always do. I'm talking about the interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge. You know how this works. I'm going to give you the answer to the question. You ask me the question. I've already answered. Vamos a hacer cinco. We're going to do five today because I want to look at something else before we finish. Number one, he will be promoted next month. When will he be promoted? When will he be promoted? Number two, I am asking for a postponement. What are you asking for? Hey, what are you asking? I'm asking for a postponement. I'm going to throw away those old papers. What are you going to throw away? I'm going out with Jennifer. Who are you going out with? Good question. Oh, Jennifer, yes. Who are you going out with? Very good. Very good. Well done. All right. You know I love teaching other things and learning other things in English during the show. You know it. And one of those things is history. Let's take a look back in time as we explore today in history.
Today in history.
Well, it was this day in 1998. Old Blue Eyes. We talked about him before. Frank Sinatra. He passed away, the legendary singer, actor, and show business icon. Died of a heart attack in Los Angeles. He was 82. He came from an Italian-American family in Hoboken, New Jersey, and went on to become the first modern superstar of pop music, with an entertainment career that covered more than five decades. In the first portion of his singing career, he was a master of the romantic ballad. A romantic ballad's popular during the Second World War. After his appeal started to reduce in the late 40s, he reinvented himself as a swinger with a rougher, world-weary singing style and started a spectacular comeback in the 1950s. In addition to his great musical success, he also appeared in 58 films, 58 movies over the years. By the 1950s, he had become the epitome, right? The king, the typical example at the top of show business success and glamour in his, and also his rough-edged sort of masculinity. He even had his own entourage, his group, known as the Rat Pack, which included Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Peter Lawford, and Joey Bishop. And they had originally formed around Humphrey Bogart, who died in 1957. But the Rat Pack appeared together on the big screen in the 60s, in a couple of movies in the 60s. And they'd go on to make Sergeants 3, 1962, 4 for Texas, Robin and the Seven Hoods, and others in the 60s. I guess that was it for the 60s. But Sinatra worked steadily in film throughout the 60s, doing those sorts of movies with the Rat Pack and on his own. And his last major Hollywood film role came in 1980. Frank Sinatra was married 4 times, and he was married, his final wife was Barbara Blakely Marks, who he was together with until his death. He was 82 when he passed away, passing away on this day in 1998. Well, we are out of time. I'd love to keep talking, but we're out of time. We're going to finish there for today and for another week. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in, for listening this week. I appreciate your dedication to your personal English development. I know you're working hard. I appreciate it. And I'm sure you will continue. I'm sure you're seeing results, and you will continue to see results as long as you keep working on it, putting in the effort. So good job. Keep it up. I'll be back next week with more. So have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Have fun. Stay safe. We'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Que tus hijos se aburren en el campamento de verano es porque no los has enviado con Vaughan. Porque si buscas un campamento en el que se diviertan, pero de verdad, donde además hablen en inglés todo el rato, tráelos a nuestros campamentos de verano Vaughan en España. Ávila, Cantabria, Valencia, Guadalajara. Tenemos un montón de destinos disponibles.